Hi, I'm John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship and from globalchristians.org, and I'd like to share with you about seven signs of a dangerous religious group. How can you tell if the church or the religion that you're attending is going to be psychologically and spiritually dangerous for you? We find vulnerable people caught up into cults or into hyper-fundamentalist groups or into groups that are not healthy for them as people and which damage their families and their lives. So I want to help you to discern this, and I want to look at seven signs that's going to help you pick the true from the false. And you'll be able to find this presentation and the PowerPoints for it at globalchristians.org/cults. globalchristians.org/cults, and there's a whole lot of other information there on cults. Now, the number one sign, the first sign we'll talk about, our number one on our list of seven, it's calculated control. A cult or something like that is going to try and have a calculated control of your behavior, of your emotions, of your thoughts, and of the information that you're allowed to access. So they'll always be trying to tell you to do things, to feel things, to not think or think things, and they're going to try and control the access to information like TV or the internet. And they may even love bomb you at the start. That love bombing is when you enter the group, they make you feel all warm and loved, and then later on they make you feel guilty or controlled, and they hook into your emotions so that you're always under their emotional control at all times, and they try and control what you do and can't do, and what you can think and can't think. So they try and control four things: behavior, emotions, and thoughts and information, and they're calculating and about how they try and get that control over you. The number two sign of a dysfunctional group is that leadership is dictatorship. That's leadership is dictatorship, if you're writing it down. Absolute obedience is expected. The organization feels that it's much more important than any individual, than the adherent. The organization must go on. You're just a soldier in the ranks, so to speak. They often have bizarre or extreme laws to test loyalty. It'll be a sudden test of your loyalty to the cult or to the religious organization, and they're always coming up with strange new laws. For instance, one week they might decide to ban coffee, and if you can't give up coffee for the organization, you're not a real member, or something like that. Sometimes it gets much stranger than that indeed. And the leader may claim to be divine, they may claim to be God or a God, to be a prophet, an apostle, an avatar, a reincarnated master, or something like that. And they'll be claiming to speak directly for God so that their words are absolute and you have to do what they say because they're God or they're God's representative. So that leadership is dictatorship. The number three sign of a dysfunctional group is that that group wants to become your total universe. They want to be your social universe. You only do things with the cult members. You only do things for the cult. You're always there at the church or at the headquarters or at the compound. They may even ask you to join and live with the cult so that all your friends are from that group, from that church or from that religious organization. And there'll be frequent attendance activities, and they'll say, "We are the insiders, we are the saved people, we are the only ones going to heaven, we're the only true church," phrases like that. And so they will say, inside is good, outside is bad. Inside is light, outside is darkness. Inside is the truth, everything outside is false. And if you have any spare time or money, you have to put your energy into promoting the interests of this group. It's to be your total universe. All your time, all your money, all your energy, all your friendships, everything is to be involved in this church or this group. And when it's trying to take over your life like that, it's bad. Religion is there to serve you, to help you to come alive. God is real. God loves you. But God wants you to be alive. He doesn't want you to be religiously obsessed. So the other thing about this total universe thing is, it's very dangerous because it portrays the religious group as a closed system, like a giant thermos flask. You know, those things that keep your coffee warm. So like a giant thermos flask, you're put inside it, the lid's screwed on, and you can't get out. You're inside this sealed system. It's a closed system. You're in there with all the cult members and the leaders. It's warm, it's cozy, but it's closed. And God doesn't want you living inside that thermos flask. He wants you outside of it. You can get out of it. You can be free. You can live in his glorious world and know his love. And you don't need the love of the leader. You have the love of God. And you're not going to go to hell if you leave the group. If you get outside that narrow system, you're going to find freedom and you're going to find joy. Because God can love you even if you don't belong to that group anymore. The fourth sign of a dysfunctional church, a cult, a sect, something that's going wrong, is that it's unthinking, unwise, and unsafe. That is, it's unthinking, it's unwise, and it's unsafe. It often has no common sense or wisdom, and it'll have a lot of bizarre points of view, often on practical matters such as paying taxes or being immunized or taking medicine or these kind of things, or on government, or what kind of government there should be. And they'll have a lot of these bizarre points of view. For instance, they'll say, oh, we're the truth, we don't have to pay taxes anymore. We don't have to submit to the government or to the government's laws. And they'll have things like that, bizarre points of view. Now, everyone's entitled to one or two bizarre points of view. We all have our little strange things that we believe. But if there's lots of them, it's a bad sign. And so if they've got lots of things, they're banning people to take medicine or they don't want babies to be immunized, and there's lots of these things going on, then you need to be suspicious. Also, in these unthinking, unwise, and unsafe groups, they will exalt risky or unhealthy behavior. You'll be seen as more spiritual if you go to a foreign country as a missionary, and the riskier the country you go to, the better, the more spiritual you're seen to be. Or they'll exalt long fasts, such as 21-day fasts or 40-day fasts. Or they'll exalt crazy financial things, such as investing your money in what the cult leader tells you to invest your money in. You often lose your money because these cults are very good at scamming people. And so there'll be high-risk behavior inside the cult. And that could include, in some cases, polygamy and other very unhealthy behaviors. Sometimes there's abuse. And if there is, you need to contact the police. Sometimes there's a refusal of medical treatment, and that's very dangerous for children. If you say that your child should not be immunized, or if you refuse medicine, or you say that someone's got cancer, can't do chemotherapy or have a blood transfusion, that's very, very dangerous indeed, and you have to really disagree with the group on that point. And if they're calling you to what they call sacrificial giving, where you're giving 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 plus percent, supposedly to God, but really to the cult leader, then you need to run a mile. They're just after your money. So you need to be wise, and these groups are unwise, they're unsafe, and they're unthinking. Along with the unthinking part, a lot of these groups think that ignorance is important. Let me repeat point five, if you're writing them down, ignorance is important. That's what they believe. That critical thinking inside these groups is punished. No real debate is allowed. Anti-intellectualism is promoted and approved, and there's discouragement of people being professionals or having degrees or getting PhDs or things like that. And they tend to hate reasoning, they tend to hate logic and thinking, that kind of thing. Often there's a form of censorship, a selection of pre-approved information. So only a few things can be read. E.g., all you need is the Bible, all you need is some holy book, all you need is the pamphlets written by the guru of the cult, and all you need is this set of teachings and you are going to be okay in life. You don't need to read those business books, those chemistry books, whatever, just read what the cult tells you to read. And so they start controlling the information, your access to information. They'll often be very negative towards the internet, particularly if the internet's got some critical articles on about that particular cult on there, so they very much try and stop people reading newspapers, watching TV, that kind of thing. You'll find this weird logic, often a lot of circular logic. We are right because we say we are right. We are right because the leader says we are right. The leader is perfect because our holy book says our leader is perfect. That kind of circular logic. It just reinforces the groups of group think of the cult, and it can even justify obviously wrong behavior. So if the group decides to go into some weird behavior like polygamy, well, it's okay for the leader to have many wives because etc., 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 and they come up with some crazy explanation. The leader is always right, even if he's wrong. That's the kind of thinking that these people go on with. In some cases, there's superstition, weird beliefs, and a thing called thought stopping, where they want you to stop thinking, and if you're thinking a negative thought or a critical thought, you've just got to stop thinking. In some cases, they'll teach you a mantra or speaking in tongues just to stop you thinking. Now, speaking in tongues is valid. I'm a charismatic Christian. I do speak in tongues, but there's a kind of speaking in tongues which is just turns people into zombies and they speak in tongues for hours. That's a misuse of the gift of tongues. It's just using tongues to make the person dumb rather than to make them smarter to communicate with God. People in some cults, the more Eastern mystical ones, they'll take drugs, they'll zone out. There'll be a passivity of mind. They're encouraged not to think, to just receive. Do not think. Well, God wants you to think. He's given you a mind. God inspired the Bible. He inspired people to think, to write, to come up with great ideas. The Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Isaiah was obviously a genius. People like that, God wants you to think. And also, in these ignorant groups, which think ignorance is important, they'll come up with bizarre prophecies which just don't come to pass, such as those of Harold Camping and the end of the world and all those things. So, the bizarre prophecies and a closed intellectual world where everything is shut down to what the group thinks and all other information is discarded. Point six, severing of relationships. Point six, severing of relationships. The adherent is asked to either convert their family to the cult or to entirely leave the family altogether. Those outside the cult are seen as darkness, as sons of Belial, as people that you should be separated from entirely. You have to leave those relationships. You have to break the soul ties. That's the phrase they use. Anyone from the former life, the old life, is seen as dangerous, spiritual polluting, someone that could drag them out of the cult. As even morally polluting and dangerous people to be avoided at all costs. So inside the cult is light and the people in there are good, and outside, all the people outside, they're bad and they're dangerous and they're wicked. And so they're encouraged to leave their family, leave the friends, join the cult compound, and the family is now the cult. The religion is now your true family, and our leader is your father or your mother or your various other leadership names like Baba or Abba or whatever names they give to the parental figure in the cult. And the guru takes over the life and becomes the parent of the cult, which becomes the children of this parental figure that runs the cult. Normal social relationships, such as belonging to a golf club or an Elks club or just socializing around in the community, they're all banned. They're seen as negative towards the development of spiritual life in the religious group. Now, if you're going to a good church, a good balanced church, they'll allow you to have friends in the community. They'll encourage you to have friends in the community because then you can be salt and light. You can be a witness to Jesus and you can have friendships, normal friendships with families and friends. A church should never ever tell you to leave your family. You're encouraged, a good Christian church will encourage you to love your family and to stay with your family. It's only the cult groups that take those extreme points of view and ask you to sever your relationships. Point seven, our last little point that we're doing here. A cult, a sect, a dysfunctional religious group, or a fundamentalist group, they will often have a lot of hatred of outsiders, a hatred of critics and dissenters. If you're outside the group, you're wrong. If you've got different practices, you're wrong. If you've got different beliefs, you're wrong. And if you're wrong, then they feel they have the right to hate you and to show anger towards those outside the group. The anger is visible. You can see it on their faces and their gestures. It's an open and vocal expression of anger towards outsiders, critics, or those in the group who dissent. So Anyone from outside, such as a TV reporter or someone criticizing the group or a cults professor at a university, they're hated. They're of the devil, and those outside the group are seen as suitable for being hatred and scorned. But the Bible tells us that he who hates his brother is in darkness until now. So if you're in a group that goes around hating people, you're in darkness. That's a dark place because God doesn't want us to live in hatred. Jesus did not go around hating people. Certainly he confronted people, but he didn't go around hating them. His primary emotion wasn't anger at all. His primary emotion was love. And when you go into a group and you can see that it's truly loving the world and loving other people outside the group, then you know that that's a healthy group. Now, these dysfunctional groups, not only do they get angry at outsiders, but they punish the insiders who step out of line. So if someone criticizes the leader or criticizes a doctor or practice or has doubts, the cult can deliver crushing emotional punishment. Isolation, shunning, putting them in a chair and accusing them of guilty things, asking them to confess stuff publicly. They shame the person into compliance with crushing emotional punishment. They find some way of getting into that person's head. They, in extreme cases, they might take their children from them or even physically abuse them. And let's hope that never happens. So these outsiders or these critics are seen as agents of Satan. They're agents of darkness and they're trying to destroy the cult. And the leader punishes them. And sometimes the leader might say, I'm punishing you for your own good, so you repent. But it's not really. The leader is just exercising power and covering that up by using Bible terminology like repent. Now, in a few extreme cases, they may not be just angry at critics. They may be angry at the whole world and at the government. And if you see a group that has barbed wire around, that has guns, that is talking about rebellion or armed rebellion against the government, that's a very bad situation and you should get out of that group and head towards law enforcement because they could kill one another, they could kill people in the community. So when a group gets so angry that they're getting guns together, that's a real problem and you need to report that to somebody. Which leads us to the next slide about what to do. What do you do if you're in a group or you know someone in a group, friend or family member? What's the course of action here? Now, in this little bit, I'm going to talk as if you were in the cult. Now, if you're listening to this, you're probably not in the cult, but this is advice that you could give to someone who's caught up in a situation like that. Or if you are in a group and you're beginning to have some doubts about whether the church you're going to is any good, you might need to follow these few steps that we've got here. We've got six steps. Number one step is to get out. That is, make a sensible plan to get out of that group as soon as possible. God doesn't want you living in a trap. God doesn't want you in a place where you're being abused, where you're being controlled. God's a God of freedom. He's a God of life. He's a God of grace, not a God of law. So you need to get away from that group. It's not good for you. So don't tell other cult members or the leadership as they may try to stop you. Don't argue with them. Don't try to change them. It won't work. Just go. Just leave and let those who stay, stay. But you need to go. Give yourself the permission to leave. Realize that you're in a trap and God doesn't want you in that trap. Give yourself permission. It's not God who put you inside that thermos flask. It wasn't God who put you inside that narrow place that you've been in for so long. It was the trickery of human beings that got you into that place. And you can leave tricky human beings. You can leave people that are being destructive. So give yourself permission to leave and to go. You can do it. You're not going to go to hell for leaving that group. God's big. God loves you already. And God's called you to have eternal life. And you can have that eternal life outside of the walls of that dysfunctional church or cult or group. Again, I've said this before. I'll say it again. I don't want to emphasize it too much, but contact law enforcement if child abuse or other criminal activity has occurred. It may be a big help to others as well. And let time pass. This is point four. Just let time pass. It will feel very strange for a while as you adjust to life outside the cult. Let your emotions surface. Just sit in the car and cry or yell or scream where no one can hear you. Go and talk to good friends. Just get all those emotions out. It's very, very confusing to leave a group like that. It's fine to be confused for a while and just let those emotions surface and talk them through with God and talk them through with your close friends. re-establish, this is point five, re-establish the relationships with your family, friends and co-workers. Go back to the normal people in the world. Go back to your old family and friends. Go back to the people that you used to enjoy being with. Try and recontact them and say, look, you know, I've come out of this cult. I need to get my life together. They will generally be very helpful, and they'll help you get your life back, and you'll start to feel normal again. Now, if point six, if possible, get professional counseling from a trustworthy, faith-friendly person. Most insurance companies will let you ask for a faith-friendly counselor. That's the term you use, faith-friendly, and that'll be a person who will support your desire to have eternal life and for biblical counseling. And there's plenty of faith-friendly counselors around that you can get. And so you don't need to be counseled by an atheist or someone that's just going to put you on medication or something like that. They do exist, and you can get in contact with them. And just talk and talk and talk, and you'll after a while, you'll start to feel a lot better. And God will help you to get out of that dysfunctional group you've been part of. My name's John Edmiston. I'm the CEO of Cyber Missions. I'm in Torrance, California. My website is globalchristians.org/cults. 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 You'll find lots of information on that. And if you're in America and you want to give me a phone call, my phone number is 310-783-1510. I'm in the USA. 310-783-1510. One more time, 310-783-1510. I'm available to speak at your church if you need me, and my email's digitalopportunities@gmail.com. Digitalopportunities, that's the plural, @gmail.com. God bless. Have a great day. Hope you've enjoyed this talk. Thank you, and bye.